Well, hello. You're listening to Loafer's Glory, the hobo jungle of the mind. Once again with you, Utah Phillips, the golden voice of the Great Southwest. What was I thinking before I fell into the song everyone was singing? How old it was for these young, yet new, for only I remembered all the words. Oh yes, we sang not for learning but for joy, the muscles of the fiddler's arm rippling like his bow. Here we are again. It's Utah Phillips and my friend Steve, who's twisting the knobs and pushing the slides here to make the machines work. That, of course, was the Borsdorf playing that wonderful music that they put together with all those railroad sounds. Jimmy Borsdorf put that together. The poem there was one that popped into my head just yesterday. We are in the studios of KVMR, Community Radio, Nevada City, California, sort of a halfway house between MTV and singing with your friends in your own living room. And it's St. Nevada City, California, where the Lord gives us grace and the devil gives us style, as Gamble Rogers said. That poem, what was I thinking? I was standing in a doorway. Oh, it was just lately. I was back at the in Cleveland, Ohio, at the National, the Folk Alliance, Folk Dance Alliance Conference. It's a big hoorah and a go-round, like a three-day party, but with workshops of the whole folk music community of the United States and Canada. And people I've been working with for 30 years were there, and it ganged up till 3, 4 in the morning in the halls and in the rooms of this Sheraton Hotel downtown, by God. And you had singer-songwriters, but you had step dancers from Cape Breton. You had people taking over the lounge in the lobby, and they were playing limberjacks, and they're playing exotic instruments, and it was simply extraordinary. It was just absolutely extraordinary. And I met so many old friends there that I hadn't seen for a long, long time. A fellow that helped to found the first performers cooperative. I started that 30 years ago in Saratoga Springs, New York, Wildflowers, as Andy Cohen. Andy, the fine guitar player, but a song finder. He spent a good part of his career, a good part of his life, finding black country blues musicians, unknown, and renting a van and taking the round from college to college, from club to club, so they'd have an audience again, a place to play. He knew Reverend Gary Davis, blind Reverend Gary Davis, one of the legendary guitar players all through the 40s, 50s. Andy's one of those people that took him around, you see. There are so many young white blues pickers that helped and worked with the old black country blues pickers, making sure they got where they needed to be, and at the same time learning their chops, learning their guitar. I have the queasy feeling that people like Andy Cohen and Dave Van Ronk and Roy Bookbinder, the great white blues pickers, are going to get old, and there's going to be a revival among young black kids about that music, the old country blues, and you're going to find them seeking out these old white blues pickers and leading them around and copying their chops. Isn't that a fantasy? Well, talking to Andy there, and he had finally achieved his life's dream, which was to record a tribute album to blind Reverend Gary Davis, and he gave me that. Let's listen to Andy Cohen. Blind Reverend Gary Davis song, Going to Sit Down on the Banks of the River.
I'm gonna run through the streets of the city where my Lord when I get to that upper bright shore. we won't have to be looked over when we get to that other side. I'm gonna sit out on the bank of the river, and I won't be back no more. We're gonna have a good time when we get there.
Reverend Gary Day with Andy Cohen playing his tribute to him. So much of what I'm going to deal with today in this program is going to be between the elders and the youngers, between those who did and then taught and those who learned and then passed it along. That's one of the roles, one of the things that folk music does, which is always done, but seems to be doing less and less these days. Not that I want to put down the singer-songwriters, you see. I'm so glad that thousands and thousands of people are using songwriting as a means of self-expression. The only problem I have with it is the same problem that I have with so much modern poetry, and that is it's treated as another way to talk about yourself. Nonetheless, so much of what I want to deal with here are things that were passed along. Now, I was cruising the halls there in this Sheraton during this big foo-for-all that droned on for hours and hours, and it was and the business people who stay at that hotel, the downtown Sheraton, they must have thought that Woodstock had landed on the hotel. I mean, they were dazed, they were glassy-eyed, didn't know what was happening. We finally got the staff of the hotel into it. I mean, they were booging along with us. Fellow I ran into one of the halls late at night was Jody Stecker, probably maybe the best singer I ever heard. But he's a fellow with a long reach. He reaches way back to those old English ballads, the ones that immigrated into the southern mountains from England. And there was a fellow that he met by the name of D. Hicks of Tennessee, who sang one of those old ballads about Napoleon. Only he called him Young Rampoleon. I guess in England there's a version of this called the Bonnie Bunch of Roses, which is another way of saying England, Scotland, and Ireland. Jody learned that. And we'd been waiting for years for Jody Stecker to put out his ballad album. So he did, and he gave it to me back there. Jody Stecker playing a fretless banjo, singing the old ballad Young Rampoleon.
Young Napoleon, and he took his mother by the hand, said, "Mother, don't be angry, for I am able to command. And I take 500,000, and across the mountains I will go. And I never will return again till I conquer the Bonnie Bunch of Roses." Oh, son, talk so venturesome. For England has the heart of oak. It's England, Ireland, Scotland. Their unity shall never be broke. Remember your dear father, on St. Helena lying low. And if you'd follow after, beware of the bawdy bunch of roses. But mother, he was loyal, and unto you he did prove true. Until that fatal afternoon upon the plains of Waterloo. Then I take 500,000. I am through tremendous dangers go. And I will conquer Moscow and return through the bony bunch of roses. And they raised him a terrible army, and kings and dukes, they joined the throng. They were so well provided, they might have swept the world along. Woman, when he came to Moscow, being overpowered by the ice and snow. But Moscow was ablazing, and he lost the bawdy bunch of roses. Up step young Napoleon, as he lay o'er his dying bed, saying, if I'd lived, I would have been glad. But oh, I droop my youthful head. But when my bones lie buried, and the weeping willows round me blow, the name of great Napoleon, I'll shine the bony bunch of roses.
Young Rampoleum, Jody Steckert. You know, D. Hicks of Tennessee, who taught that to him, he didn't know where Moscow was, he didn't know where Waterloo was, he didn't know hardly anything about Napoleon. He learned and sang that song because he cherished it, because it was part of his inheritance. And then he passed it along to Jody, and I pass it along to you. You see, that's how it's supposed to work. Well, again, lurching around the halls late at night, running into people that I've known years and years, I ran into Joe Hickerson. Now, Joe Hickerson just retired. He was the keeper of the folk song archives at the Library of Congress. If you ever needed a song, if only you had a fragment or a hint of what that song was, Joe could dig and not only find it, but find a field recording or find a transcription from the last century. He could give you the etymology of that song, where it came from, how it evolved from mouth to mouth, from instrument to instrument. Joe Hickerson, we had a wonderful talk, sort of an academic talk there in the hall about archival practice. And you know, by the time he retired, he was so angry at the amount of material, of old material, that was being lost from the Library of Congress because of hotshot equipment salesmen, engineers coming down the road and selling them storage and retrieval electronic equipment that degrades so fast that literally thousands of volumes and manuscripts are being lost who are committed to electronic storage. And you know, we both agreed, since I was trained as an archivist in Utah before I had to leave, that your best sources are still the oldest. That chiseled in stone over thousands of years is still with us. The books from the last century and the century before, I have some of them, they're still with us. And I think that probably ought to be a lesson we should listen to. You know, as I said before, the engineering mind is a series of behavioral disorders. Well, in any case, here is an old English ballad. The Britons, before the Romans came, used to smear their body with a blue clay called woad. Whether it was magical, whether it was insulation, I don't know what. In any case, here's an old English ballad that Joe Hickerson made up some years ago called woad.
What's the use of wearing braces, hats and spats and boots with laces, vests and pants you buy in places down on Brompton Road? What's the use of shirts of cotton, studs that always get forgotten? These affairs are simply rotten, better far is woad. Woad's the stuff to show men, woad to scare your foemen. Boil it to a brilliant blue, then rub it on your back and your abdomen. Ancient Britain never hit on anything as fine as woad to fit on necks or legs or where you sit on tailors, you'll be blowed. Romans crossed the English Channel, all dressed up in tin and flannel. Half a pint of woad per man'll clothe us more than these. Saxons, you can save your stitches for making beds for bugs in breeches. We have woad to clothe us, which is not a nest for fleas. Romans, save your armors. Saxons, your pajamas. Hairy coats were made for goats, gorillas, yaks, retriever dogs, and llamas. March on Snowdon with your woad on. Never mind if you get rained or snowed on. Never need a button sewed on. W-O-A-D, woad.
As Joe Hickerson, you know, the rarest of all animals, a playful academic. And yeah, Joe, it's wonderful. It was wonderful to have somebody who sang and who knew songs as head of that archives, collecting and keeping track of all that, making it available to all of us. There were so many young people there at this conference, the Folk Alliance conference, and yeah, there are a great many of them making up their own songs. It gets called singer-songwriters. But there were some who did look back, who did reach back into the last century and the century before to bring forward music that they fell in love with simply because it was good music, because it was vastly more interesting than introversion, than listening to some person's introversion. There I go again preaching, but you know, you'll have to forgive me. I'm not going to dwell on that, damn it. The young folks called Cordelia's Dad, and I've heard them before, but I encountered them down in the lobby, and we talked about that old music, and these are some young folks who go to a lot of trouble to find songs that haven't been sung for 100, 150 years. They were going through a junk store in Connecticut and ran across a ledger book dated 1859 in which 12 verses of this song were handwritten. They since traced the song back to a temperance magazine from Rhode Island in 1850. So they recorded it. Here's Cordelia's Dad. They're singing the Dying Californian.
Thank you.
Cordelia's dad. And boy, I wish them so much well, finding that old music and then taking it in front of young audiences to show the breadth, the depth, the variety of the music which we all inherit. Ran into a couple of women there up at the Alliance that I've known for a long time called Rebel Voices, and they do music of conscience. They can sing any kind of music. There's simply fine singers and instrumentalists. And they sang a song. Well, I'm going to play it for you. Years and years ago, a couple centuries ago, there was a tradition in Britain called the broadside tradition. And a broadside was, well, there weren't any newspapers for the common people. So when an event happened that deserved attention, like a scandal or a murder or piracy, somebody would write a set of doggerel verses and print it out on a penny sheet, and boys would run through the streets selling these for a penny a copy. And that's how songs got around. That's how many old ballads survived. The broadside tradition sort of fades out in our time, except in a peculiar way. Remember Richard Dyer Bennett, an old folk singer from the 1930s and 40s, used to teach ballads, creating ballads. He'd sit under a tree with a bunch of kids around him, and he'd pass out newspaper articles and then say, okay, now you're going to go off by yourself, and you're going to take that newspaper article and turn it into a song. That's exactly what David Roth did in that same broadside tradition. He ran across a newspaper story. It was about the Special Olympics, and the story impressed him so much that he went off by himself and wrote a song called Nine Gold Medals. Rebel Voices.
The athletes had come from all over the country to run for the gold and the silver and bronze. Many the weeks and the months of their training, and all coming down to these games. The spectators gathered around the old field for cheering on all the young women and men. The final event of the day was approaching. Excitement grew high to begin. The blocks were lined up for those who would use them. The 100-yard dash was the race to be run. There were nine resolved athletes in back of the starting line, poised for the sound of the gun. The signal was given, the pistol exploded, and so do the runners all charging ahead, except for the youngest who stumbled and staggered and fell to the asphalt instead. He gave out a cry in frustration and anguish, his dreams and his efforts all dashed in the dirt. But as sure as I stand here before you today, here's the truth about what next occurred. The eight other runners drew up on their heels, the ones who had trained for so long to compete. One by one they turned round and went back to help him, and brought the young boy to his feet. Then all the nine athletes joined hands and continued the 100-yard dash, now reduced to a walk, and the banner above that said Special Olympics could not have been more on the mark. That's how the race ended, with nine gold medals, for they came to the finish line holding hands still, and the standing ovation and nine beaming faces said more than these words ever will.
Welcome back. Nine Gold Medals, sung by Rebel Voices, written by David Roth. Now, that's a song about winning, isn't it? Huh? It's wonderful to hear a song that's about winning instead of losing. One of the people that I met with, I had a breakfast meeting with at that conference, was Larry Long from Minnesota, although he's really all over the country and all over the world. We had a breakfast meeting about a book that we're going to write together. We're writing together, and it's about winners. We had been at a peace conference of peace activists in Minneapolis, and the major speakers all stood up, and what they essentially did was catalog all the abuses, catalog everything that has gone wrong. And I had to leave because it got so damn depressing. And then I met Larry there and said to him, look, why isn't there a book with music with it, maybe a record that goes with it? It's about struggles that are won, about people winning. Just let them know that it is possible. Well, we're working on that. Well, let me tell you what Larry does. Rural Alabama, gets elders, old African-American people together, and they tell their life stories. He transcribes the stories, shares them with kids in the schools, and those kids make up songs about their stories, and they have a show, and they give those stories as songs back to their elders. You know, building bridges between the youngers and elders. He's doing that right now in a small town, border town in northern Mexico. Well, he gave me a record while I was there that was out of print for a while. He went down to Okemah, Oklahoma, which was Woody Guthrie's hometown, into the Crystal Theater, and he did a show, a tribute to Woody Guthrie at the Crystal Theater, the same theater that Woody had sung in when he was in the high school chorus down there. And he put the show together with the children of Okemah, working in the schools, you see. They would make up songs, especially for this show. And some of Woody's relatives were sitting there in the audience. Well, we're going to let's listen to a piece of work from there, from the Crystal Theater, the Woody Guthrie tribute. First, you're going to hear a piece of Woody's writing, something Woody said that was so important, recited by a young kid by the name of Jerry Baker. And then you're going to hear, a form that Woody Guthrie loved, the Talkin' Blues. All these kids got together with Larry Long and wrote the Talkin' Okemah. Here's Woody Guthrie.
I hate a song that makes you think that you're not any good. I hate a song that makes you think you're born to lose, bound to lose. No good to nobody, no good for nothing. Because you're either too old or too young or too fat or too thin or too ugly or too this or too that. Songs that run you down or songs that poke fun at you on account of your bad luck or hard traveling. I'm out to fight these kind of songs to my very last breath of air and my last drop of blood. I'm out to sing songs that will prove to you that this is your world and that if it has hit you pretty hard and knocked you for a dozen loops, no matter how hard it's run you down and rolled you over, no matter what color you are, what how you're built, what size you are, I'm out to sing songs that will make you take pride in yourself. Woody Guthrie.
Okemah, it's a small town. It's not too big around. A mile long, 2 miles wide. An Okie town that won't say goodbye. Oh, Okemah.
Town on the hill. On Friday night, go to the game. On a Saturday night, we all drag mate. Go to the Legion, take a U. Circle Sonic and Mazio's too. Up and down.
Up and down.
All around.
All around.
Saturday night.
Saturday night.
In Okemah town.
Eddie loves Lisa. Lisa loves Eddie. Everybody's talking about going steady. Some say yes, some say no. Same as it was years ago. Up and down.
Up and down.
All around.
All around.
Saturday night.
Saturday night.
In Okemah town.
Marching band, it took state, qualified for 10 years straight. Woodwind and brass, the marching band has lots of class. Up and down,
up and down,
all around,
all around.
Saturday night,
Saturday night,
in Okemah town.
Now Woody's house down the hill, drive by it each day, my Oldsmobile. Shouldn't have let that old house die, can't help wonder why they knocked it down.
Knocked it down.
All around.
All around.
Saturday night.
Saturday night.
In Okemah town.
But as Woody said, it's not too late when something's wrong to set it straight. After all, do believe this world belongs to you and me. Up and down.
Up and down.
All around.
All around.
Saturday night.
Saturday night.
In most any town.
Isn't that a wonderful piece of work? Isn't that a wonderful piece of work? Well, I'm so glad that Larry Long is walking on the planet and making those connections, reconnecting people with their elders, with their heritage, with what they already own, with their own feelings. I like this. Yeah, I met Larry up there at the Folk Alliance. We had a wonderful, wonderful talk, and I sure hope that we can pull this book off. He's got a lot more energy than I do. But I think that it's really worth doing, and we're going to do it. One of the founders and organizers of Traveling Musicians Local 1000, we had our own rooms up there, and we had our own. It's the only time that a lot of our members can get together in one place. So we sort of have our convention, you know, our annual convention at the Folk Alliance. Charlie King. I remember when he was organizing the Clamshell Alliance to shut down the nuclear plant up at Seabrook. That's when I sailed on the sloop Clearwater. First time it was on the ocean. It's only supposed to be on the Hudson River. And I got to know Charlie. Well, Charlie has been doing the Across the Belly of America, Feet on the Ground, social service booking with Catholic Worker Houses of Hospitality, with environmental organizations for many, many, many years. And he's another breed of cat. He's another way of how songs get passed along. Now, see, Woody, he wrote So Long It's Been Good to Know You. So long it's been good to know you. So long. Well, you've heard it. Charlie takes these old tunes, and he twists them around and brings them up into our time. And that's one of the things that songs do, is they roll and they mold and they change as the times change, as the people change. But they're still with us because the people value them enough to keep them at work in their lives. Well, here's So Long's Been Good to Know You, Charlie King style, SNL So Long.
I've sung this song, time to sing it again. Dust Bowl to Rust Bowl, the game never ends. The rich always write off their profits as loss, and it's you and it's me that get stuck with the cost. They say, so long, it's been good to know ya. Don't have to pay what we owe ya. So long, it's been good to know ya. Here comes the bill for the billions we've spent. Funny, nobody knows where it went. They cooked up a scam at the SNL thrift, writing big loans like a loan was a gift. Doubled their salaries, bought second homes. Now they all declare bankruptcy right off the loans and say, so long, it's been good to know ya. Don't have to pay what we owe ya. So long, it's been good to know ya. Here comes the bill for the billions we've spent. Funny, nobody knows where it went. Now the president's son got a loan for a friend, who then spent the whole loan like it's his dough to spend. Then they all walk away with no if and or but. I tell you, is this a great country or what? So your family could eat, they'd haul you to jail and they'd swallow the key. But just steal a billion and wear a nice tie, they elect you to office and say, what a guy. So long, it's been good to know ya. Don't have to pay what we owe ya. So long, it's been good to know ya. Here comes the bill for the billions we've spent. Funny, nobody knows where it went.
Well, you see what I mean. Charlie King, SNL So Long, taken out of Woody Guthrie's So Long, It's Been Good to Know You. But the folks that I ran into there, well, the folks that put me up when I was in Washington, D.C. lately, playing over at Wolf Trap. I do get out of town about once a month these days to do a concert. Kathy Fink and Marcy Marxer. Now, they can sing any kind of music and play any kind of music. What I think they're best known for is and loved for is for their children's music. It's not just music that adults decide that their children ought to be listening to, you know. There isn't any children's market because they don't have any money. Kathy and Marcy find songs and make songs to give children the power to take over those parts of their lives that where they're able to do that. Like what it is they're going to watch on TV. How to react to those ugly exploitive images, you see. I don't know. With Star Wars and computers and television, sometimes I really feel like I'm trapped in a bad science fiction movie. Well, they write and use these healing songs with kids, and they use kids with them to do it. They get kids together all organized, and they sing and they write together. Well, let's listen to one of their songs. They gave me this while I was back there. Bill Harley's a wonderful song called Dad Threw the TV Out the Window. Kathy Fink and Marcy Marxer.
It was in the morning, a sunny Saturday. We turned on the TV and on the couch we lay. We watched our favorite program and another couple shows. When our dad came in the room, folded arms and tapping toes.
He said, kids, turn off the TV now. There's lots of things to do. Your beds aren't made, the chores aren't done. The sun is shining too.
I said, oh, Dad, I'm busy now. I've got to watch this show.
I guess we should have listened, but how were we to know? Cause then he walked across the room and then he pulled the plug. He lifted up the television and skipped across the rug. He opened up the window and then we screamed, Dad, no! But he gave the thing a heave and we watched the TV go.
Dad threw the TV out the window.
I knew that things at our house would soon be changing fast.
Our dad looked out the window and he mumbled, my oh my. My brother looked out too and said, I'm gonna die.
That night after dinner when we went to watch the set, all we found was nothing. I said, how could I forget? My brother lay down on the floor and mumbled, what will I do?
I said, why don't you move away? He said, the same to you.
But then he told a joke. And I told two or three.
And the one about the elephants made Dad fall on his knees.
And Mom did her impression of a duck that couldn't fly.
That would have made you wet your pants and maybe even cry.
Dad threw the TV out the window.
Wasn't what I feared. I didn't really miss it, though some friends thought I was weird.
I didn't miss commercials and all the blood and guts and all the stupid shows my brother watched that drove me nuts.
But then one sunny Saturday, our dad could not be found. We looked high and low, and from his room we heard a sound. We ran into his room to see what it could be, and found our father hiding there watching a TV. I said, oh, Dad, now really, you ought to be ashamed.
He said kind of sheepishly, I want to watch the game.
We picked up the TV and waltzed across the room and gave the thing a heave and waited for the
Well, now, it's up to you kids who happen to be listening to this to act that out, all right? You just give them some good advice. Now, you go ahead. You know what to do. Direct action gets the goods. That's what us Wobblies all know. I'm doing all of this, by the way, to let you all the folks know how to listen to Loafer's Glory, that folk music is, in fact, alive and well. And I mean music of the folks is really alive and well out there. Being created, being drawn up into the present, being shared at the grassroots, really out there doing its job, doing its work. I guess the climax of the Folk Alliance Conference is always the giving of the Lifetime Achievement Award. This year's recipient was Doc Watson. Doc Watson, an enormously fine guitar player. He knows so many old songs. He'd been blind since birth, and he listened to a lot of old records, and he would go to roadhouses and listen to songs, just like Kenny Hall down there in Fresno. And he acquired a wealth of music. And it's only in the early 60s he began to get out and share it very much. I remember when I was sort of oozing through that part of the country there, North Carolina, I met a fellow named Aubrey Ramsey, banjo player down on the French Broad River. He said, "You got to go meet a fellow named Doc Watson, interested in old songs." So I hitchhiked. It was over to Deep Gap and a little house that Doc lived in. He had just finished wiring the house. The inspector said it was a fine job. I mean, it was hard to tell this man wasn't sighted. He had just given his son, Merle, his first really good guitar. It was a Gibson Hummingbird. And then they sat in the living room there, and they played music. And he picked up that guitar. I wanted to hear an old mountain ballad. He said, "Hey, here's a great song. I just learned this." And he sang Tom Paxman's. That was the last thing on my mind. I mean, that's the way Doc's mind works. You know, there's no musical horizons to it. I'm going to go all the way back to the beginning before Doc was traveling much. And when Merle was alive, Merle was tragically killed in an accident. Doc and Merle Watson sitting in their living room. This is the old Folkways original recording of the Watson family, with Merle playing the five-string banjo, Doc playing the guitar. Let's listen to Frosty Morning. Well, that's what I found at the Folk Alliance, that and a whole lot more. I found not just the music, but the camaraderie. I found a community of friends. As I've said so often before, I don't live in an age of information. I live in a community of sentiment. And that's my natural, my organic community, the family which has nourished and sustained me for the past 30 years and a little better. That's about all I wanted to play for you today. So we have time left over. That's so rare. You know, normally we're careening toward the conclusion of this foofroa, worried about whether we're going to run out of time. Let's go all the way back to the beginning, back to Reverend Gary Davis. We'll play all of this. It's a well-meant song. Andy Cohen, Reverend Gary Davis singing, "I Will Do My Last Singing in This Land."
Somewhere sailing over the sea, I will do my last. traveling in this land, child, somewhere. I will do my last try traveling in this land, somewhere. I don't know, and I can't tell where, maybe somewhere sailing in the air.
Thanks for being here with me and my old friends. You've been listening to Loafer's Glory, the Hobo Jungle of the Mind. My name is Utah Phillips. From Walt Whitman, I have perceived that to be with those I like is enough. To stop in company with the rest at evening is enough. To be surrounded by beautiful, curious, breathing, laughing flesh is enough. To pass among them, to touch anyone, to rest my arm ever so lightly round his or her neck for a moment. What is this then? I do not ask any more delight. I swim in it as in a sea.